It's Candy O 742. Stand by, Mariah Carey next.
I would rather be in the field of animation. You know, feel like I could be myself, yet someone different at the same time.
Bringing a world perspective to today's news.
Why voiceover? It's powerful, it's creative, it's cool.
Oh yes, voiceover is cool, but it's not as cool as talking shop with Dan Lothian and Law Lapidus.
What's that? It should be Law Lapidus first, then Dan Lothian?
Eh, they'll fix it in post. This is Mic, Camera, Action.
Hello.
Hello.
It's busy. By the way, you know what happened? I'm a little sore today.
Oh, no. Here comes that story.
It's that story. And my back, I was playing this makeup game of volleyball and football with my daughter at the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Flip-flops got buried in the sand. I had a face plant in the sand and twisted my back. And so I feel, you know, if I went through a round, a professional boxing round, that's kind of how I feel right now.
Hence all the head-to-toe bandages.
I look like a mummy
and
right now.
And the crutches. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that, Dan. Well, the good news is you're here. You're a pro, you're working,
exactly.
And you look great. I never would know you fell right on your face.
Yeah, the glasses survived. And my right arm, which I write with, still works, which is a great transition to what we're talking about today.
Yeah, it is. And you're a pro, so you get up and dust yourself off and go to work.
Exactly. And we're talking about why good writing still matters. You know, writing is one of those, what's becoming, I think, a lost art.
Yes.
People don't.
In fact, they don't teach it in school anymore, do they?
No,
that's the latest I heard.
Yeah, I think they teach texting.
They teach texting, right? Well, shorthand, really shorthand.
English is focusing more on reading now.
And so, so writing. I mean, it used to be that you learned how to just do the block letters, right? Just learn your letters. Mm-hmm. And then it was cursive, which was something that I remember. I used to borrow my dad's big fountain pen and it was cursive. Everything was encouraged, you know, the writing.
Right.
Tell stories. I was doing these long written, you know, 3, 4, 5 pages from a very young age.
It's such a shame, isn't it? Such a lost art form.
It is.
I mean, I don't care what they're doing in schools. We make sure our kids can write. Print and write. Cursive. We actually pay them to do it.
It's their chore money, right? Writing, you get your chore money.
So kind of like what we're about to talk about, getting paid to write.
Nicely done.
Yes.
But you're right. I mean, so there are two different kinds of writing that we're going to talk about. First of all, writing for your career. Mm-hmm. And we were discussing before the show how coming from the news side, I can't tell you how many times I heard a news director say, if somebody knows how to write, they get hired. Because there are a lot of people out there who can, you know, show up on camera, who can put together a story, who can go out and interview people. But what does it sound like? Is it different? Is it special? And they're looking at people who can turn a phrase. They're looking for people who can, when you look at three different stories that everybody did, the same story that three different people did, that there's something that sparkles about your writing. Now, it's not like over-the-top writing or some, you know, some novel kind of thing.
Right,
but it's about just, you know, knowing that the person spent a little extra time and has some talent in actually putting words, stringing words together.
Right.
And you have to work at it.
And understanding that there's a difference between creative writing, which you should be able to do as a creative, thinking creatively, but also structured writing, grammatically correct writing, writing that has spelling that actually makes sense to the word. I mean, so you really need to do both of those really well.
That's right. And you know, I know spell check, there are all these things that your computer has that can help correct some things. But you should really spend a lot of time. Yet there are so many things that you have to learn how to do and to do well in order to excel in your career. Mm-hmm. But I think people should start focusing more on writing.
It's a big deal. It's a big skill to have in our industry. I'll tell you, when we advertise for an intern. We were just talking about interns. When we advertise for an intern and we get an application on email, and one of the first things I see is in the sentence structure, a lowercase I. Hmm. I either think this is a scam, or I think they're already in texting shorthand language, and they're not going to be a good fit for the studio, because they have to be able to think in long form. They have to be able to be grammatically correct. They have to understand how to write a letter that may go to, you know, an upper level professional. And that already is not appealing to me. How do you feel about that, Dan, when you get that one sentence
really
with the
harsh.
Lowercase I's?
That one isn't a pet peeve of mine, but I do agree with you that if I look at an email and it is littered with a lot of trash, and by that I mean a lot of grammatical errors, sentence structure all messed up, you know, maybe it's a harsh judgment, but that's gone. Like, that person will not get a chance.
But don't you think... They're either being lazy,
right? That's what
because
I'm thinking,
they could have
sloppy.
Had someone fix it or edit
exactly.
it, or they just don't know the difference.
Either,
that's
either
even
one.
Worse.
Right, that's either worse.
Which is worse?
Right. I think you're right, and I remember there was a guy who I worked with many years ago, and clearly, because he was roughly my age, so I'm sure they were teaching good writing back in the day when he was going to school, but. I believe he either didn't show up on those days or he fell asleep during those classes. And every email that he sent around was just mind-boggling. It was a landfill of mistakes and, you know, punctuation problems and all of that. I would say the perfect storm of bad behavior when it comes to writing emails. And so what it became known as find the flags in this guy's email. And we lost whatever it was. And he was a manager. He would send these emails around. And behind his back, we were all kind of like snickering and going, oh, look, I found a flag. Because it was just so messy. And we didn't have a whole lot of respect. Now, you know, I guess when I look back, there were some good qualities to him. He was, you know, fairly decent at his job. But we always saw him through that glass of he doesn't know how to write.
Through that lens.
He was
never able to break that impression with you.
Right, exactly.
Right.
And that's not something that you want. And you know, so if you're in a job already, that may continue to happen and it's not going to affect you. But when you're trying to get a job, and if the person on the other side didn't grow up in an environment where they were texting shorthand and didn't care about grammar, if they really did care about those things, you have a hard time getting in the door.
I agree. You know? I always see, you know, writing as someone speaking. Like, I literally envision that person saying those words. So I feel like I can get to know them and get to know their style even before I meet them. So going back to your interviews, if you're going to interviews or you're going to auditions of any kind, just know whatever you write down is a direct representation of who you are, what your style is, how you speak, and how you think.
Yes.
It's not separate from you, right? So there's a couple different things, Dan, we need to talk about. One is, of course, the structure of writing, the formatting, the spelling, the grammar, all of that good stuff that we never wanted to take in school that now we're so happy we know how to do.
Right.
How important is that, you know, and especially when you look at journalism, look at editing?
It's important. And granted, if you are going to a big operation, there are a lot of different levels of who does what, right? So you have editors who can clean things up for you. I mean, there are some reporters, and I remember in newspaper, there were some people who were just good reporters and they would call in the information. And then there were these stellar writers who would actually put the piece together. And so you have those layers that can make you look really smart. But when you're working for a smaller operation or you're trying to get into a smaller operation, online or wherever it may be, you have to have these skills because you have to do all of it, all of the above. And I know a lot of times people are even launching out on their own projects and they're putting together their blogs and different things like that. And so you have, there's a lot of information that's being put out there. So when someone wants to check to see, you know, how your writing is, they don't have to look very far. They can just put Google your name and there's a whole menu of bad, as I've been my phrase now, bad writing behavior. We should give them a red card.
The Google
that's
police.
What they do now.
The
that's
Google
right.
stalkers.
Exactly.
But it's so true. Your track record is online.
Right,
I mean, everything you've done, everything you've said, every project you've been a part of, most likely is somewhere out there and very easy to search. So you want to make sure that what people are searching is, you know, quality material. I want to also ask Bren to get into the situation because are you the millennial generation?
I think this is like the fifth time.
I know, but I have to
ask. But for our listeners who are just tuning in.
You're 10 years younger than me, so I think you are.
I think I've always read different things, but I think the millennial generation starts anywhere between 1980 and 1978, or 1978 to 1980.
So is that a yes?
So yes.
Okay. So,
oh, wow. So I'm me too. I'm a millennial.
Okay, Dan, we'll let you think that
hey,
for today.
In mind. I'm a millennial.
Here's my question, though, to Brent. As a millennial, as the representative of this entire generation,
that's right.
How do you view writing? How do you think about writing? Is it important to you? Do you think about it? Or is it just something to do and get done with?
Well, in that case, I can't really speak for everyone.
But you can try.
You have a seat at the UN, don't you? at the special millennial designate for the world? Well,
Brent is powerful. You have no idea.
Well, my mind is very full of stuff that I like to write down.
Mm-hmm.
Coherently, it's tough for me to start writing, have a beginning, middle, and end, because I always trail off when I'm writing.
Mm-hmm. But do you care? Do you think it's important?
I think it's important.
Okay. Do you think that has anything to do with the education or with the viewpoint of your teachers when you were growing up, of what they were teaching you? Or do you think it's more like your generation's mindset about it?
Well, I guess I can address each point. With my teachers growing up, you know, they put a strong emphasis on spelling and creating story and everything. But as the years wear on and, you know, everyone's focusing on their phones and their computers.
And their shorthand.
And they weren't millennials either, your teachers.
No, they were
a much older generation, I'm sure.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So that's they were trying to, you know, get it into our heads that you need what you guys have been saying. You need spell check. You need to tell a coherent story. Mm-hmm. You need to be creative. You need to, you know, basically sell what you're trying to say.
Right.
How do you think about it today, though, is my question. Today, at 35 years old, how do you think about writing? If we need to write this essay today and get it out by tomorrow at noon. How do you feel about doing that?
Oh, God.
There's the answer right there.
Right. How do you feel about just something that's messy?
I don't like messy stuff either.
Oh, okay.
Just because I...
Then why is he working with me?
If you're texting... It tells you what you want to say. It tells you how it's supposed to be spelled.
Right.
There's a caps lock button on there.
Wait a second. Brendan is landing on something important, and that is, and this is not a bad thing, because that's a tool, and that's a very useful tool. But we didn't have that tool years and years of growing up and coming into the industry. We relied on ourselves, our brains, to come up with that. So the useful tool, which we all use today, can become a crutch, right, Dan?
Right.
To what your brain really needs to do functioning in terms of structure. But then Brent is talking creatively.
Right.
What do we have to do creatively in coming in and thinking, wow, I have to craft ideas. If I'm working on a piece of copy or a script, let's say I'm a voiceover talent, I'm working towards my demo. Well, my coach and I are going to sit down, we're going to work, we're going to craft script together. I want to be a part of that process. That's going to be my demo.
Right,
that's going to represent me, right? So I want to be able to come up with creative ideas and creative thoughts without editing myself, without stopping myself in holding off on structure, in just allowing myself to be creative and engage the imagination.
Right.
That is a challenge.
No, it is. It really is. And it's difficult. I think it really is difficult for the millennial generation, because while there are these tools that can help to clean up your copy, I think I know my son's like this, and I know my nephews are like this. They're shorthand ways that they communicate, right? Instead of writing out the word you, they just put the letter U, right?
Or they send a visual.
Or they do a Snapchat visual. Or they do
instead.
Emojis, right? So, people who can write really well using emojis.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it becomes a little more problematic for young people like that to kind of figure out, well, you know, how do I... You know, now I have to really write. I haven't been doing this. They expect this of me. This is going to be very difficult.
I agree.
It's the technology that's made everyone lazy.
Right.
But I'm trying to, at least for myself, I try to go further than that. Like, I help Law write emails all the time, and I make sure that I'm using spell check. I'm capitalizing words.
Right.
I'm using... You know, commas where they're supposed to be. Like, the little things that were important, you know, growing up, I'm still trying to use that.
Right.
But, you know, I have the quote-unquote benefit of having a computer to tell me, hey, you spelled this word wrong. Hey, you should, you know, rearrange this word and that word, you know, that sort of thing. And, you know, I've taken it for granted. I mean, I've never done the UU thing or
right.
using the number two instead of the letter two.
Right, right.
And that sort of thing. I've never done that. And
but see, now, training him well. Now he's seeing, though, that one letter off or punctuation gone awry can really wreck your credibility
right, right.
with a new client, a potential new prospect. Right. You have to be really, really careful.
And we're not
that,
saying
right?
that you have to be perfect. I mean, I make mistakes all the time.
Well,
I try
to. Bren has
to
be perfect.
You, okay, I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay.
That's right.
Don't undo all the good work I've done, Dan.
Right. You do have to be perfect. You have to be better than perfect. But, you know, we're just saying that you have to pay attention to this. And
yes.
there are a lot of great tools out there, of course. We mm-hmm. can do this. You know, we offer all sorts of services to help people in all aspects of their careers. But just out there online, you know, there are how-to videos where you can watch them and learn how to write good copy. They're just a lot of, anytime you want to get ideas about different kinds of creative writing, there are workshops that you can take online as well, or just, you know, a document that spells it out for you. So if you seek it out, if you really care about it, you can find it. I also want to talk a little bit about just beyond just doing writing professionally, the lost art of sending thank you notes and handwritten notes.
I love
I'm still
that.
Old school when it comes to that.
I'm if so glad you said
yeah,
that,
if
Dan.
If somebody drops me a note after we have a meeting and not just send an email, mm-hmm. that person moves way up in my mind mm-hmm. because they're still capturing, you know, they're taking the time and they're it's well thought out and there wasn't a spell check or a sentence mm-hmm. structure, you know, plug in into their document that allowed them to write that. Mm-hmm. And so it's very pure. And to this day, whenever I go to meetings, if I'm meeting someone for the very first time, after that meeting, I'll come back to my office, I'll just write a little thank you note, sign it, mail it off.
That's
and so
beautiful,
that's
Dan.
That's why it keeps me in good practice
that's
of writing.
That almost causes me to shed a tear because it's so
go ahead.
Great. But
cry.
It's so lovely. It is a lost art form, but it's also something that we're constantly, you know, advising our clients to do, that if you so choose to write a note or send a postcard, and oftentimes postcards in our industry will have your photo on them. So
right,
no matter
right.
what you do, it's a good idea, just like the real estate
right.
agents put their photo on to have the name and the face together and to take that time. It doesn't need to be extensive. It doesn't need to be long. In fact, kiss it. Keep it short and sweet
Ooh,
and to
nice.
The point. I would even say, here's a tip for you. Based on your conversation, which hopefully you're taking notes on, you can pull out a sentence or an idea that they gave you that's really useful to you and reiterate that back to them. Like, thank you,
were paying
so
attention.
Much.
Yes.
Yeah, that day during our meeting, you know, you reminded me that I really do need a new headshot. And thank you so much. I just made my my appointment with my photographer. I appreciate that. That tells them you're listening, that you're paying attention, and that you're a pro. You're doing the due diligence. You could do all that within like four sentences
right.
of a handwritten letter. Just be careful. Here's my warning to you, because this is my problem. I write like a pediatrician. And partly
yeah.
it's because I just do. And partly it's because I'm not physically writing as much as I'm typing yeah. like most people,
it's
right?
Because you think you're Hollywood and you just want to do this. Like,
no, it's my messy it's your, brain. It's my messy brain. But I would
it's an
say
autograph style.
It's an autograph style. And it's hard to read. So when I teach a class, people will say, "Law, what is that?" Say, I'm sorry. So you have to practice.
That's where
like,
I come
literally,
in to clean
right?
up her writing.
Yeah.
Not the grammatical part, just make it legible.
Just make it visually legible.
Right.
But you do have to be careful of that you could do this beautifully handwritten note and then they can't read it.
Yeah, that's not good either.
Right. So
because they might think you said something else.
Like, I know.
I hated the meeting. I wish I hadn't shown up.
Nothing's
and I want
worse
you to know
than that.
That.
And you'll never even know. You'll
you
never
know.
Even know.
Why aren't they talking
well,
to me?
Well, here's the thing. Tip. All you have to do, just like with the editing of your email or whatever else, just quickly show it to someone and say, hey, can you read that? You know, just do a little background check before you do that.
Right. And if they say, what's this word? Start over.
Start over. Exactly. Start over.
And as you know, as we go, the one other thing I would say is that if you have that disclaimer at the bottom of your email, that says, pardon this email mistake. Have you seen those where it's like if there's a typo or whatever?
Yes.
Well, iPhones have the thing that said, this is set for my iPhone, which is basically a generalized.
Oh, I've seen that, and I get that.
For any spelling
mistake. Okay, so that makes sense because you're on an iPhone. I get it.
Yes, you know what, though? People hide behind that.
Right.
And I've seen this before where they misspell or whatever. It's sloppy. And the whole thing is like, oh, well, it wrote, you know.
And it wrote.
I wanted to say C, and it said sex, you know. That wasn't me. I didn't do it, you know.
Wait a second. Hold on. Dan brought up an important point. Be careful, because I use the auto text all the time.
There you go.
So if I'm driving, I'm running around, I'm always on auto dictating, right? Voice. You have to take
no
a moment
you're
and check that
all
over
the highway. That was you the other day.
That was that was me. And how many times has my husband said to me, who's John? His name is Jeremy.
Oh,
so you
yes,
get what I'm saying. So yes, auto text. Yeah. So you just have to be careful of those things.
Yeah.
You don't want to by accident say something offensive, by accident call someone by the wrong name, by accident. You just have to take a moment and check it over.
Yeah. Well, pay attention to your writing. Writing does matter.
And the road.
And the road. That's right.
It's always funny to me when people blame autocorrect because, you know, it's always the smaller words. You're not trying to conjugate Latin verbs.
Right.
You're misspelling, like you said, C and sex. It takes three seconds to hit the backspace.
Right. Yeah. And people aren't going back over. You know, sometimes I'll write a short email and I'll think, oh, there's no reason to review this. And then I did. And there are weird things that happen. Like,
and you said, thank goodness I reviewed it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because there are times when you'll write, you know, the something, and then you go back and look at it and you put the. And I'm not really sure if that's my computer doing it or I just, you know, the brain did the, I don't know, short circuit or whatever it is.
Exactly. Or but. I love when they come back to you and they have to let you know you made a mistake and they know exactly what you meant, but they have to let you know they made a mistake.
Yeah, that's bad.
Like, I assume by that word law, you meant Friday and not French
fritters.
Fries.
That's right.
Like, of course I meant Friday, not French
Let's meet
fries.
On French fries.
But the point is, do the due diligence and really don't lose the art form of structured writing and spelling and grammar and really being creative within your writing as well. And nowadays, I was talking to my husband about this. He's a controller, actually, been an accountant his entire life.
Yeah, I was going to say a controller. What, he controls you? Like the way she sounded it.
Every time I say that, I have to define it because people say, you know, you really need help for that.
Yeah. Maybe you can lead up to by he's in the finance world as a controller.
I should say that. He's in the finance world. Similar to a CFO, he's a controller. And he has said to me many times, you know, in my industry, people who can write start at much higher levels and get paid much more money.
Mm.
And that doesn't mean they're high-level writers either. That means they can just write. They know how to write. So, you know, no matter what industry you're in and listening to this, it's valuable.
That's right. Always remember, write is right.
So then I was like, do you want to see my Neumann?
Dude, we're still rolling.
What? They're still listening? Don't these people have homes?
Well, since you're still with us, check us out at lalapitascompany.com and littleparkmedia.com and look for Media Monster, the Learning Hub programs. Everything from coaching to podcasts to media events and very cool and necessary seminars and workshops.
By the way, did that lazy tech director ever fix the intro on post?